So Baruch Hashem, a week ago at this time, we were mamash on the day of Tisha B'Av, and we're zocha to be together for Shabbat Nachamu, a wonderful thing. And during the course of that week, every year we have the Hachonah for Shabbat Nachamu, which is the transition from Tisha B'Av to Tedvav B'Av. That transition is a very primal transition, which is tremendously mechayev as well. And without it, there's no possibility really of there being a Shabbat Nachamu. First of all, one of the issues that it addresses is, which is not obvious on the surface, but one of the issues that it addresses is how is it that the Nechama for Tisha B'Av begins just that short period later, and of course it's directly related to the actual passing of Tisha B'Av, because the Gemara says that Yom Tetzav B'Av, up until that day, they continued keeping Tisha B'Av. But every single year at that day, on Tisha B'Av, they would go out and dig their own graves and just go to sleep in the grave, not knowing if you're going to wake up in the morning. And when Tisha B'Av passed, and that last door, which was that, it was the 40th year, they thought maybe they made a mistake, so they dug again a grave. Next night, they went to sleep in their grave. They continued to do this, despite the fact that it was rather obvious that it couldn't possibly be Tisha B'Av anymore. They continued to do this until the moon was completely full. And then there was no possibility of it being Tisha B'Av. No matter how crazy you want to persuade yourself to be, you can't be that crazy, which isn't obvious on the surface why in the world people should be crazy enough to think the 14th is Tisha B'Av and the 13th is Tisha B'Av, because it's pretty obvious that it isn't. Okay, but until Tetvav B'Av, they continue to relate to Tisha B'Av. So obviously, historically speaking, the day of Tu B'Av has to do with getting over Tisha B'Av. No matter what else happened on that day. And that's still in the Zman of the Midbar. So something about the nature of that day makes it possible to have a nechama from the day of Tisha B'Av. If you take a look at all of the inyanim of that day, as we've pointed out so many times, and we're going into the details, but all of them are issues of getting over the limitations of where you were stuck. So in terms of you're being connected still to the possibility of Tisha B'Av and destruction, you need to get beyond the psychological vulnerability to that time. Same thing is true in terms of Beitar. As long as, look, Beitar was lost, I mean, what was the point? But as long as you still needed to relate to Beitar in order to be covert, those who had died in Beitar, it wasn't possible to put it behind you. You can't put it behind you. So because it was the Yom Shenitnu Metei Beitar Likfura, it also ties into this issue. And obviously that is so primal an issue that the Takona Hatov Amitiv as a bracha, Hatov Amitiv, is something that is Nogea Olam Haba. Because the Gemara says the difference really between Olam HaZeh and Olam Haba is that in Olam HaZeh you have two brachot, Baruch Dayana Emet and Baruch HaTov HaMetiv, which is remarkable because Baruch Dayana Emet is Tisha B'Av. Even some people have a minute to actually say the brach of Dayana Emet when they're called up to the Torah. They come up and they say Baruch Dayana Emet without Shemu Malchut, but it means it's an indication of the nature of Avelut on Tisha B'Av, which is its essential avoda. And Avelut is deeply connected to Dayana Emet. Not to mention that the point of Tisha B'Av is essentially Dayana Emet. In other words, there's no limits to the willingness of Din to do whatever is necessary in order to bring forth whatever ultimate tikkun is essential. In Olam Haba, you only have Hatov Amitiv. So that means that the development from the day of Tisha B'Av, in which all that we knew initially was Dayana Emet, to the day of Tu B'Av, where we're actually mitaken the brocha ledorot, and it's not a small thing, of Hatov Amitiv. Not only that, but we're koveyed every single day in Birkat HaMazon, and perhaps more powerfully, we're koveyed it in terms of wine, particularly, that if we get to a higher madrega of wine, then we say Hatov Amitiv, which is itself shocking, since the Gemara identifies wine with the Eitz Hadas itself, so that the Ein Lecha Mevi Tugal Olam, the Mekor of Avelut in the world, is actually wine. And here we make Hatov Amitiv specifically on the wine. So if anything points more clearly to the fact that we're dealing with some type of primal tikkun and primal development, it's that. You go from the destruction that is caused by exactly the same yesod that you go to be Koveya the Brocha on. It's a very powerful point, and it relates directly to the other powerful point, which is that the specific issue that we find at the time of the Nechama for the two Zmanim that destroyed our lives in terms of Avelut, the first one of which was Shiva'a Asar B'Tammuz, which was the destruction of the Luchot, which was the reintroduction of mortality, of forgetting, and of the shattered lives that we lead, and then the Dayan HaEmet of Tisha B'Av. Those two times come to an end at different places. So the Tisha B'Av comes to an end at Tu B'Av, it's only 6 days later. Shiva Asar B'Tammuz comes to an end on Yom HaKippurim with the Luchot HaShniyim. And both of those days are observed as Yamim Tovim LeYisrael, Lo Hayu Yamim Tovim LeYisrael, and the observance of the 2 days has only one thing in common, dancing girls, and specifically dancing Bein Hakramim, Becholot Hakramim, which means that we're going back to not only to the problem of Kramim in terms of the Mokor Bot Avilut and of the Tikkun V'Tov Amitiv, but we are going back to the mocker of the reintroduction of mortality, which was the Mecholot, in terms of the Mecholot HaEgel, which was the real problem of the Egel Azov, not the worship, but Vayikir Ot Et HaEgel Ve'et HaMecholot. So the idea of being stuck and dancing around your own insanity, that's the problem. The fact that people can make mistakes. People can make mistakes, but when they start dancing around the mistakes, we're in big trouble. That became the inability to move forward, and one would think that the tikkun of Tisha B'Av, which is so much more far-reaching and more primal than the tikkun of Yom HaKippurim, the proof being that the tikkun of Yom HaKippurim only ends up with being shochen itam betoch tumultam. So basically what Yom Kippur is there for, as Moshe Rabbeinu himself speaks out, Yom Kippur is there in order to create tolerance for an imperfect world. Tisha B'Av is there to create intolerance for an imperfect world, which is the Dayan HaEmet. So why in the world would the Zman of the Tikkun for Ashochen Itam B'Toch Tumotam be the one that subsumes the other time, which is the time from Tisha B'Av to Tu B'Av? One would think that you need a greater period, and that broader period would subsume the elements of the path from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz to Yom HaKippurim. And instead, we do it in exactly the opposite sense, right? So that's something that needs to be understood. And if you take a look at the other inyanim that we're looking at the Shabbat, it's precisely the same idea of getting out of a locked-in syndrome, essentially. So that it wasn't only the psychological lock-in to the avelos of Yom HaKippurim, of Tisha B'Av, but every last issue that took place there, whether it was in terms of Hutar, Shevet Binyamin, to come into Eretz, to Klal Yisrael, to intermarry, which was also achieved by dancing girls, mind you, because they went out and they took the dancing girls, right? Crazy story. Or whether it was in terms of the question of whether the tikkun of Bnot Tzlofchad, that a bat Yoreshet Nachalah is only to allow to marry in Shevet, which came to an end on that day, and that was a horrific closure of the possibilities of Klal Yisrael's development into ethnicity and stupidity, which brought about exactly the problems that led to dancing girls, which was that it was the neder ben av lebito, which was Yiftach, who did not find the petach, which is exactly why his name was called Yiftach, and which led to the benot, the friends of Bat Yiftach, that they started going around litanot, which ultimately became the Arba Pamim B'Shana, which becomes the Arba Taniot, which are then addressed by the same girls, this time dancing around Mandi Kormim. It's a wild, wild story. And that means that every last issue has to do with putting behind you the things that were, including the day of the Bittul of the Pardesiot, of Hoshea ben Elah, in which he prevented people from coming up to the Beit HaMikdash. The fact that no one came afterwards, and that made it even worse, is not the issue. The point is that you're beyond a problem. Now start working on it. And of course, the final issue, the Yom Tavar Magal, which in English you say, the day we bury the hatchet. Now, you bury the hatchet means it's over. And that was talking about in Achinami, that was talking about in terms of the Korban Eitzim and the commitment to doing the Aveda that you felt you had to do. But you know what? Sometimes doing the Aveda that you feel you have to do prevents you from growing. And that's a tremendous problem. So the Yom Tavar Magal means that from that day on, there's one message, Amar Yisrael, there's one message. and that is Mandalo Mosif Yasi. From that day on, the nights get longer, you could start working on new things, and if you don't, you should just drop dead. Amazing end to the story of Tu B'Av, right? Which means that it's the main message. In other words, anything that had left us with limitations and with the sense of the built-in hopelessness that all of these situations had created, whether it's something as small as a one-time, you thought, a one-time event of the problems of Shevet Binyamin, that wasn't a one-time event, that ended up being the problem of the Melucha. That's what ends up making the Melucha. Shoal comes from that dance. So, I mean, that was the whole, ultimately, the love of Yonatan and David, which comes from that dance as well. The riot at Shoal goes and insults Yonatan afterwards, all the way back to Ben Navat Amartut, Ben Ervat Beitimech, what kind of nonsense is that? But that was the whole point. It goes all the way back to the openness, the relationships that had been crushed until that time. So the point, therefore, is that of Tu B'Av, is that whole idea that we end up with on Tisha B'Av itself, which is the Chadashim LaBakarim Rabbah Menatecha, and that Chasdei Hashem Kilotamu. There's always something that can completely change. Kilo Chavu Rachamav. That begins, really, the accessing. Yazdu Chasadim, that begins on Tu B'Av. And so because of that, it's possible to come to Nechama, because Nechama, remember, is profoundly related to Avelut. You can't have Nechama without Avelut. That's the bottom line. And why is that? Because the Avelut is the Aval. Avelut is finally the recognition that the things that got you into trouble were the things that were the assumptions of the nature of your being that don't need to be examined, which becomes on Tisha B'Av, the Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid U'Makshe Libo Yipol B'Ra'ah. And that ultimate arrogance, which is forget about the issues of your ideas and the things that you're committed to and the often utter nonsense that your life is dedicated to, but more profoundly, the conceit of your existence itself, which is the most incredibly profound conceit, the entitlements and the assumptions of life is meant to be a particular way, and I get upset when it isn't that way, and I could cry about the fact that it's the ultimate Bechir Shalchina. I cry about the fact that things didn't work out the way I wanted. Who the hell told you that they're supposed to work out that way? What made you think that you're entitled to have them work out that way? Maybe the very best thing that happened to you is that somebody slapped you across the face and told you, drop dead and start living. Because that's the measure. If you want to live, then first drop dead. And that's Avilut. Ritzoncha shelo tamut, tamut lifnei she'ata mit. Force yourself to drop dead mentally, because it's only Avilut that's going to get you out of the mess that you're in. Because no matter how deeply we go in terms of the Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid, there's always the assumption of that Meda entitlement that even gives you the right to be the man who is Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid. I mean, you'll end up taking credit for everything, including that. You know, thank God I'm so wonderful, I'm an Ashrei Adam Mefachet Tamid who believes nothing about myself. You know, it's great. The old joke about, who gave you the right to be an Anav? Or how could you be the world's greatest Anav if I am? So, I mean, that idea of going all the way back to the basis of chet itself, which is the velo yid boshashu, which is the nature of entitlement, that distance is the distance that is traveled from the giving up in terms of the avelut on Tisha B'Av, and turning around that giving up into a new beginning of a life that you have absolutely no idea where it's going. And the guts that's involved in doing that, and the open-endedness that's involved in doing that. In order to be that open-ended, it's essential to first be literally, as it says here in the Parsha, Gufa, that lo mi rubchem. It's not because of rubchem yikol amim. All of it is amazing, because this is Moshe Rabbeinu's excuse for wiping out the entire population. The indigenous population has to be wiped out. Why? Ki lo mi rubchem. What does that have to do with anything? This is the time to say that. In the context of well, what does that have to do with this? It has everything to do with this, because it's the most subtle attitudes that make the entire difference. And the difference between being an Am Kadosh Lashem Elokecha versus the Amim that you're being Nashal Amim Rabim Mipanecha in which you say, and you take a look at these amim, and you say, these are wonderful people. These are good people. These are honest people. These are growing people. These are people searching for truth. There's only one difference, and that's the difference that Maishra Rabbeinu says. Entitlements. The only difference. It's an amazing thing. If you live among a people who are mirubchem, which means, kishani meitiv lachem, inchem mitgayim, like the umayis are, but ki atem hame'at, atem mima'atim et atzbechem, lifanai. And it goes through all the deras. Paro melech mitzrayim, Nebuchadnezzar, Chira melech tzur. Always the relationship is to the conceit of what I have. So that means that the ultimate distinction is in the ability, and this is where we're told that Klal Yisrael is Adam Atem, is in dealing with that fundamental human failing. The failing of Adam Harishon was the failing of Velo Yidbosh Hashem. The Tikkun that Klal Yisrael is capable of restoring the nature of Nana Avelus, of the way the world was conceived to be possible, is only Lo Merubchem. And therefore, there is no way to deal with a culture that would be embedded in your own that doesn't have that one single quality. You could teach everybody philosophically. You could be in the world's finest, caring most people. And this is what happened to the United States. Absolutely the most incredible country that humanity had ever produced. With the amazing commitment to Teva and to growing and to human freedom and to each door adding the nature of human freedom until the time of entitlements. The moment the time of entitlements came, within 50 years, people stopped literally being able to think. People started calling the Ra'ah Tova. People started to doubt the, shall we say, in God we trust, on our coins, was Mr. Meshuggah. What are we, middle-aged people? Middle Ages people, medieval people, and so on and so forth. The moment that happened, the complete breakdown of any sense of Bikush Teva that isn't a Bikush Ra. It's astounding, one of the most amazing lessons of history. Huh? Muvan Meila. זה מציאות, מציאות הוא שאנחנו צריכים להיות במצב, מגיע לנו הכל, ואם זה, שם זה המדינה היחידית, שאם מישהו חולה, הוא שואל, איך זה יכול להיות שאני חולה? למה אני? אין מקום בעולם שאנשים כל כך משוגעים, למה לא שאלת למה אתה בריא? לא, מה זאת אומרת? אני חייב להיות פה, ואיך יכול להיות שאני אהיה חולה, המוח שלי לא תופס את זה. ויש מקום אחר בעולם, אפילו באירופה, שהם לגמרי משוגעים. אפילו שם הם מבינים, what's a human condition? A human condition is a miracle that you live for the next day. Not there, there's no such thing. There's never any miracles. The only miracles are the chas v'shalom. Something bad should happen. יש לך מדינה אחרת, somebody dies, that everybody would say, how is that possible? I just spoke to him. As if by speaking to him means he couldn't possibly have died. It's an amazing thing. But then there's something wrong with the entire psychology or the entire basis of how they view their own existence to ask those kind of questions. It's absolutely maddening to any real human being to watch. So this is something that Meir Rabin is identifying here as being the fundamental reason that you cannot live in that environment. Which means that the deep relationship of the Parsha itself to the issues that we understood as being central to Tu B'Av and the development from Tisha B'Av into a completely new beginning, and that is the name of the Parsha itself, which is the idea of, as Chazal tell us, that Et Hanan is the very concept of the Matnat Chinam. We're asking only a gift of Matnat Chinam, that Moshe Rabbeinu was only asking from Matnat Chinam, and that's the Derech of Tzadikim, that they only ask for Matnat Chinam. And of course, the relationship of Chinam to the whole idea of Tisha B'Av in the first place. which immediately strikes you as being a little bit weird. But of course it has to do with the nature of Nechama itself. This is Shabbat Nachamu. And the Shabbat Nachamu, its Haftorah is permanently Kavua, as being the Haftorah of Va'et Hanan. And the relationship of Nechama, as it appears initially in the Torah, of Zei Nachamenu, and that becomes Chen, in Noach Matzachir, and the idea of Chinam, are all deeply related all the way back in Sefer Bereshit, in actually Parshat Bereshit. And therefore, there must be something that is directly associated with Moshe Rabbeinu's bakosha of matnat chinam, and the mevakish from you a matnat chinam, and the issues in this week's parsha that directly address that problem of chinam. One of the most striking, of course, is the lo techanim. The way in which you relate to those umos that do suffer from entitlement is not to show them any chen. That is to say, do not give them matnas chinam. It's actually an issue. Do not send a gift to these kind of people. Unless you get something out of it, then it's a transaction, it's not a gift. But in terms of matnat chinam, don't be nichshal. Amazing thing. And the other very, very deep focus on chinam, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's statement of Ra'eh l'mati atchem Torah, the Torah that I taught you, the chukim u'mishpatim is kasher tzivani Hashem Elokai. Which the Gemara says, teaches you that the way that Torah is given over is by definition chinam. It can only be given over for free. You cannot take money for teaching Torah. As a matter of fact, you obviously can't pay money for being taught Torah. You can pay money for people's wasting their time and giving back the business that they're losing, but you cannot pay for Torah itself. So that means that there's something about the nature of chinam that has to do with all three issues: the way in which you relate to the Umos HaOlam, the way in which you relate to Torah, and the way in which it's possible for tefillah to achieve something in the world that otherwise is completely out of reach. This is what the Navi was saying, essentially, that Chadashim Labakarim Rabbim Emunatecha is dependent on Chasdei Hashem Kilotam. So, what would those things be? Before we go into the details, I'd like to just go over with you a very strange mishmash of the Parsha, because the Parsha seems to be a tremendous mishmash of inyanim, none of which really even makes sense on their own. Halacha is kind of the comment to thematically define the Parsha in Surah Ta. So one is, V'etchanan el Hashem ba'etahi leimor. Believe it or not, Chazal say leimor means, why does it say leimor? Leimor means to tell all future generations exactly that point, that afilu cherev chadam unachat atzavaro shel adam, nonetheless there's always hope. But that hope comes through V'etchanan, not through tefillah, not V'etpalel, but B'davke, through the type of tefillah which is called tachanunim, and that is the way in which it's possible to transcend the very hopelessness of the situation that you were in before. In other words, the transition between a Dayana Emet of Tisha B'Av and the concept of Nechama on Shabbat Nachamu and on Tu B'Av is directly Nogea, understanding the nature of this new tefillah called Tachanun. That itself leads to the idea of Nechama. It's going away very slowly.
A lost kid. He's walking to crime.
What, does he need saving if he's that lost?
No, I think he's just like that. He's upset he didn't get a candy or something.
Maybe it's good for us to buy him off with some candy. He's got candy in there.
Okay. Give him something to cry about. That's the alternative.
Trust me, should always come up with the right solution. Okay, so let's go through these parashah, as I was saying. So we have the Leimor teaching us that this is the specific approach to the way in which you're supposed to learn to be mitpalel. Tell me something. Does it make sense to bring as a model a failed model HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to no way, drop dead. So this is the way in which we're supposed to learn, because after all, there's always an Eitzah. You can always be Mischanin. Right, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can always say Rav Lach. I mean, like, what? Why in the world would we make this the model for the way in which we're supposed to daven? To find some place where it actually works, no? That's a little bit strange. Okay. And then, it seems to be a little bit vicious, in the sense of Rav Lach al Tosef Daveri Layot, and instead, Tzavet Yoshua, it's all vicious. Why don't you go and take a look, I'll let you see. You said you want to see, okay, go see. But you're not going to get there. Well, that's what you said. Now, come on, it's too late now, you can't change the request. You said you want to see, fine, so go see. But Tzavet Yoshua v'chaskeo v'amtzeiot, which again seems, listen, you're out of the running, so let's get a replacement, you know. So let's start working on your replacement. What do you say about that? It's like an immediate flip over. It's like the way they fire people today, you know. Give me the keys and get out of the office. Okay. Then we get into the Ata Yisrael, which doesn't make any sense. Why the Ata Yisrael? Shema Alech Hokim Vala Mishpatim. What do you mean, and now? What does and now have to do with anything? Not to mention the fact that V'etchanan al Hashem is not a ptucha. V'etchanan al Hashem is a continuing seduma from the issues that we were talking about before, which is Re'e Achiloti Latit Lefanecha Tzichon Melechem and so on. Right? Now this V'etchanan al Hashem V'etayi, the way in which people understand it, is that Moshe Rabbeinu thought, as Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that since he was already able to be nichdas into Eivra Yadei Mizracha, so maybe he was already huter the Shvua. The Medrash says it's like L'Moshe over a king who has told his child, don't come near the palace, and he keeps getting closer and closer, he comes into the outside chutzner, and apparently I'm going to get away with this, right? And then at the very last minute, it becomes Ravla. But is there a deeper connection to the Yonim of the Milchom of Sichem Vog? That isn't clear. So, okay, so the Ata Yisrael talks about, remember the way in which you were Yom HaShem Adat Elifnei HaShem Elokecha Bechore Ata Harit Aladat Raki Shamer Lecha Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od. All of these things are included in these one things, and Pentishkach Et HaBrit, and that ends that one. Then, amazingly, we go backwards and we have the laning of Tisha B'Av here in the laning for Shabbat Nachamu, which is Ki Tovi Banim Uvnei Banim V'Noshantem Ba'aretz, as if the awareness of the V'Noshantem Ba'aretz is itself uniquely nogea in your ability to recover from Tisha B'Av. So it's the very fact that this is transitional from Tisha B'Av to Nechama is clear from the fact that this is where we see what it is that we have to be giving over. And yet, for some reason, the issues that are here are things that don't seem to be connected with V'Noshantem Va'aretz. It's a recapitulation of Maimed Har Sinai again. Hashama Am Kol Elohim Medaber Mitocha Eish Kasher Shomata Atta Vayech Anisalim Lago Lakachat Lo Goy Mikerev Goy. And then Min HaShamayim Yishmiach Ad Kolo Nehorish Goyim Gedolim. What is this all about? Is there anything added? It's all old stuff. So how does it relate to Kili Tildi Bani V'Noshantem? Next Ptucha. Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim Be'Ever HaYadei Mizracha. We already know that back from Bamidbar, the closing of Bamidbar, which is the real closing of the Chumash. We have the story of the way that Moshe Rabbeinu gave up the mitzvah, and the continuation of that mitzvah is this. Okay, fine. Since it happened at this time, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu wants to repeat it. But then, amazingly, without a hint that we're starting a new topic, without a new Ptucha, without a new Stuma, nothing. Ramot Bagilad, Bagadi, Golan, Babashan, Lamanashi, Vizot HaTorah Shesam Moshe Lifnei Bis... What? Eila Hayedut V'Chukim HaMishpatim. What in the world does that have to do with Oz Yavdil Moshe? That's like, doesn't make any sense at all. Then it goes back to Sichon V'Og again. V'Yeshua Tatzov V'Teretzov V'Melech HaBashan Shnei Malchei Amori. So, I mean, if anything shows that we've been discussing one topic from the end of Devarim until here, which has to do with Sichon V'Og, it's that. I mean, how can we be going back to repeating what it is that we just said before? Amazing. Okay, next psuch. Moshe calls together, Vaygra Moshe al Kol Yisrael, he says to them, Shema Yisrael, Shachukim HaMishpatim, Asher Anochi Dover Bozrechem HaYom, which he just kept finished saying three times. But we need this again. And then again, Hashem Eloheinu Karas Imanu Brit B'Chorev. You just described Chorev twice in the past two parshas, right? Lo et avotinu karat Hashem et habrit hazot ki tono anach, panim mefanim. And then, of course, that introduces the luchas. So now we're given the nusach, perhaps, of the second luchas. It's a machlokas of the Gemara, it's not clear. Is this the second luchas? In which case the differences, which are very profound differences. Is it Zachar at Yom HaShabbat? Is it Shomar at Yom HaShabbat? Forget about Zachar and Shomar. Is Shabbat because Kesheshet Yamim Asa Hashem et HaShemayim et HaAretz? Or is Shabbat because, wow, Vayotzi Yachar Hashem Lokecha Bisham from Eretz Mitzrayim, Yibiyot HaZakav is run into Yah, Alkein Tzivcha Lasot Yom HaShabbat? Which one is it? Is it going back to my separations? Or is it going back to Yitzias Mitzrayim? Of course, why we say both in Kiddush, right? We say Sheshet Yamim Asar Shem Zechel Amaseh Vereshit Yashiach Mishatiyana Mi Mitzrayim. Okay, we go through the Luchot, and now Moshe Rabbeinu says, and after that, you all came to me, and you said to me, listen, we really can't take it. No more. Lama namut. Kitochlino Eish HaGdola Azot. And I was very upset about that, as Rashi says. Kravata Ushama. And actually, Hashem told me what you said was very good. Hashem Hashem at Kol Divrechem. Vayom Hashem Elai. Shamati at Kol Divrechem. Hey, Tivu Kol Hashem Dibero. What's your problem? They're very, very correct. Except for one minor thing. But he then goes on to say, Mi Yitain Vayala Vavam Zelam Lirauti Vishmakom Mitzvotai Kol Hayamim. Which, as Chazal say, is actually the reason that it takes 40 years, we learned from that it takes 40 years to figure out what was being told you, and that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Eitivu as a Shekol HaShadiberu, Mi Yiten Vayal Vavam Zelahem, when Moshe Rabbeinu said that over, they should have said Atatitein. Since they didn't say Atatitein, that was a proof that they're totally screwed up. Why? Because the Kvuyetov, Abnei Kvuyetov are going back to, again, Adam HaRishon and his entitlements. They don't want to be marketed for anything. So how are you saying Eitivu Kol Asher Dibero? What is this, a trap? You know? Sounds like something a woman would do, no? You set up the trap. You get the guy to believe it. He says, yeah, yeah, 100%. And then you close the trap. Huh? You wouldn't have suspected HaKadosh Baruch Hu for doing that, right? That's just Eitivu Kol Asher Dibero. It's a brilliant trap. But what's the point of it, right? And this becomes about Tapo Amodi Bani. Now you'll notice, it doesn't say a word about the Shvirat HaLuchot here. It's as if we're going directly from the Luchot HaRishonim, and Mi Yiten Vayala Vavam Zeh, Vatapo Amodi Bani, Ushmartem Lasot Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokechem. Wonderful. Zot HaMitzvah VaChukim VaMishpatim. What? The most important event in the whole story you're leaving out. Nary a word. Well, that we're only going to find out in the end. How does that make sense? Okay, then the next parsha. The next parsha is a parsha p'tucha with many stubot in it. And that is the famous parsha of Shema. Now, will you admit that it's a little bit strange for Moshe Rabbeinu to wait 40 years to teach us Kriyat Shema when we're supposed to be doing that for our 2-year-old child? The very first thing that he learns is before he talks. Except, of course, for the one other pasuk, which is Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe, which Moshe waits until the last day. We still have a year. He's in the middle of this 36 days. So, first of all, he teaches in an inverted order. It's first Shema, then Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe. Whereas our mitzvah to teach our children is first Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe, then Shema. He waits for 40 years, which is the amount of time it takes to be Yomid Asof Das Rabbi. And we paskin that you have to do this at the beginning of the development of your Das. It's really weird. I mean, you think, okay, if I'm going to be educating Klal Yisrael, should to be in that same context. This is the first thing you have to know. So, first talk to me about Torah Tziv Alonu Moshe. No. And then we have the description of these ideas of entitlements, which begins, you're going to have all of this great stuff, but again, how many times are we going to get tired? I mean, maybe that's why we have to speak again of Kishalcha Bincha Machar Lemor Ma'edot V'Chokim V'Mishpatim, which is the fourth of the four sons, and all of a sudden again we're repeating, we're already 40 years post-Mitzrayim, so now we're talking about Kishalcha Mincha Machar. And we keep doing this. Petishkachat Hashem Asherot Siyacha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Next one. Lotanasu Kasher Nisitem B'masa. The next one is the Ben HaChacham. The next one is the one that I started with. Kiviyach Hashem Lokecha El Ha'aretz Asherat Abasham Al Rishta. Be careful not to allow any of them to be around. And Lotechanim. The closing of the parsha, which does not seem to relate to the opening of the parsha at all, is the beautiful words, V'shamarta, Yata Mitzvah, Yata Chukim, Mishpatim, Asher Anochim, Mitzavacha, Hayom La'asotam. That key phrase, Hayom La'asotam, from which Chazal are medayek, Hayom La'asotam, U'machar L'kabel Secharam, does not seem to be in any way connected with any of these ongoing thematic messages about the Eretz Mitzrayim and about the Torah and about the way that you stood in front of Chorev and all these different ways and where Yotzim Eretz Mitzrayim, none of which seem to really interrelate, but they certainly don't seem to have anything to do with the opening of the V'yetzchanan, and they don't seem to have anything to do with a message of Hayom La'asotam. Why would we be interested in Hayom La'asotam here, of all things? And if you take a look at the Rabbeinu Bach, yeah, you find an amazing thing. His introduction to the entire parsha has to do with Hayom La'asotam. Because the pasuk that he chooses is Malve Hashem Chonen Dal, Chonen, Ugmulo Yishalem Lo. So first of all, you're a Malve Hashem, which means that you need to get paid back in this world, which is not. It's Hayom La'asotam and to get paid back. Why? Because it's a debt. Debt has to be paid back in Olam Hazeh. But then, Gmulo Yishalem Lo. So explains the Rabbeinu Bach, there's two different things. One is that you'll get your money back, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you lent the money, you'll get it back with interest. That's fine. That's B'chanunin HaBazot. Give tzedakah and watch if it doesn't bring you money back.
It must relate.
And then Gmulo Yishalem Lo. Gmulo something else. Zo Avtacha Tzchar Olam Haba. So this is the p'ticha. I mean, it's impossible that it should be coincidental that this is the p'ticha to the very issue that is clearly relating a p'sicha of a etchanan to a closing of a yom la'asotam. And machar l'kabel secharam. Something very unusual is happening here, right? And all of this has got to be nogea, the way in which we understand how it is the permanent kviut of Nechama, Shabbat Nachamu, with those days of recovery from Tisha B'Av and the ability to start over it. And that's Mikan, Ulahaba, Madam Osif, Yosif, because that's the giving. Madam Osif, Yosif, there's nothing that is said is given to you except for the fact that Madam Osif, Yosif. That's an amazing statement, which is the equivalent of Hayom La'asotam. Manda Basifa, you want to live? You're here in order to do things? You're doing those things? You're adding? Fine, okay, that's what you're here for. Now what are we going to discuss? What you deserve for living? Thank you very much. But the Loma Sif should drop dead. Because that's what it's about. It's about life and death. It's your problem, it's not my problem. Even that message is very powerful in terms of Tubav, correct? You hear the power of it. Just saying it that way. Manda Masif, you see. Right, very nice. So, I have a suggestion. Some of the suggestions we've talked about before, I'd like to see it more developed and more contextually as defining the entire transition. It's clear from the Limud in Chazal of Etchanan Lemor, that this is not a parsha of the rejection of Tachanun. It's a parsha in which Moshe Rabbeinu's Tachanunim were accepted, not rejected. Something was rejected, and something was accepted. The part that was accepted was whatever could be accepted. And the part that was rejected was Hayom La'asotam. So let me explain what the point is. When Moshe Rabbeinu says Etchanan, and he's only being mevakish from Chinam, let's take a look at the relationship of that Chinam to Ma Ani B'Chinam, Afatem B'Chinam, in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Malamed Oti B'Chinam, Kach Ani B'Malati Etchem B'Chinam. What does that even mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught me for free? I mean, what exactly bank account was I supposed to deposit the money in for his teaching? Right? In other words, the idea over there is that the fundamental relationship to Torah is an existential chinam. There can't possibly be an agenda in giving me Torah which could, in the most insane mind, give HaKadosh Baruch Hu something from it. It's clearly an act of complete, total, absolute sharing, in which I'm sharing the thing that is closest to me. That's the Anochi. Ana nafshoi k'tiva yayivas. There's nothing that is more me, and that's the Yisroel Yeraisa v'Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it's an act of intimacy. An act of intimacy in that level is pure v'etchana. What it is that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about over here. Let me also polish it up a little so you can see in terms of the halacha what that means, because it's not a philosophical issue, it's a halachic issue. You're not allowed to pay money for learning Torah. The heter to pay is only the heter to use money to get yourself the teacher who will now teach you for free. That's the point. So in other words, let's say the person that you want to teach you is a working individual, and he says, I can only teach you if you make up for my lost income. I don't want any money for teaching you Torah, but I need to survive. So I make $5,000 a week, and that's what you got to pay me, because that's what I need for my family. And if you want to make that up for me, fine. Am I allowed to do that? We need a special pusik to tell me that I'm allowed to do that, which is emet knei val timkor. But it's only, obviously, where he's not charging for the Torah. Because if he were charging for the Torah, I wouldn't be allowed to pay him, and he wouldn't be allowed to take it. So it can't be that Emet Kinei is telling you, you could be over on the Isser of Lifnei Iver Lo Titen Michshol and pay this guy, because after all, how else are you going to get Torah? So let him go to hell, and you enjoy the Torah. That doesn't make sense. Right? So it's saying you can pay him where necessary, in ways of heter, and there's nothing that is innately a contradiction between that payment and the Torah. Why would there be? What does it even mean? The fact that I'm being told that I can't pay money to have somebody teach me Torah, why in the world would that even occur to me, that means that I'm paying a person so that I can have a person available to be my teacher, that would be usher, that I should need a pasuk to tell me otherwise? The only explanation is because it's absolutely the nature of Torah that it has to be something that is experienced as a completely existential, disconnected act of absolute sharing. So you would have had a havamina that the very fact that I would have had to pay to make that possible means that it's not Torah that I'm learning. Not Torah that you're learning, exactly. Because what we're talking about is part of the definition of Torah, not part of the way that you're acquiring Torah. What does that say to us about the nature of the chinam that we're talking about over here? I believe that it's saying to us that in the same way, the nature of Torah is something that is kodma le'olam. It's not something, and this is the biggest mistake that people make, that Torah is somehow a response to the world. And it is a thing about the world. It's a thing that teaches you about the world. It's an instruction manual for how it is that you're to get along in the world, and blah, 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 all the fancy stuff that they'll talk about, right? What? But there's something even deeper than that. Why Staka Barai the Bari Alma? Even that people think is nothing but, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got a plan. Here's the architectural plan. It's the other fancy thing they talk about, right? So here's the architectural plan. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks into his architectural plan, all of this romantic talk. He looks at the architectural plan. He builds the world according to his plan. That's also agendas. Architectural plans are agendas. The point over here is that the ma'ani b'chinam means in the ultimate sense of my own identity, kevayachol, as being not the creator, but being he who becomes the creator. Do you understand the difference? I'm only the creator when you are created. But there is he who becomes the creator. That's what I'm talking about. That's the ani that I'm talking about. So when we're talking about a kodma, we're talking about a chinam that does not relate even to the plan of creation. I could start talking about a plan of creation when the essential nature of the pure element of existential sharing is seen as part of what it is to be. And that it does not, it is the nature of being. That it simply expands to fill every possible niche and therefore will create the niches to fill. That's the ultimate sense of chesed chinam. Not that there's a need in the world that I can be good to. It has nothing to do with loving kindness, with the Christian idea of love on that level. It's much more profound. It's purely existential, and we would have no idea what it meant until we went through a process of creation so that we can now model our sense, which we don't even know where it comes from, but our sense of the grand goodness, because it's the only thing that there is of being, after something which would be the source of such a thing, you see? And therefore, if you wreck it in any way by it being part of a plan, you would think that even if I had to arrange for it to come my way, it's a disaster, because then I'll never experience the purity of what it is that I'm actually given. I will always relate it to a plan, even though it's my plan, even though it's the money that I paid to have the Rebbe available. Even that's no good. That's the point. So, in which case, the Ve'et Chanan al Hashem, I want to suggest, is not like the Rabbeinu Bachya's Pshat in Ve'et Chanan al Hashem. So Rabbeinu Bachya learns the Ve'et Chanan al Hashem relates to the Hanhaga of the Chanoti et Asher Achon, Rechabti et Asher Arachim. Rashi, when he talks about the Chanoti et Asher Achon, says these words, Lefi Sha'a. I don't believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking Lefi Sha'a. That's not the point. The pashtus of what is happening over here is that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, I don't want a hanhaga at all. That's the point. No hanhaga. And this is the mocker of the amazing Medrash, which has no mocker in the Torah that I know of, except for the word Bet Hanan. That Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to live. And if I can't be me, turn me into a bird. And let me just fly to see how beautiful the earth is. I'm not asking for more than that, but I want existence. I want existence. Where do you see that? So this is the concept of Vaneshev Bagai. Because in the other Shira, which comes Umi Bamot Hagai, Hagai is Kfura. In Haggai el Kfura. And this is the Mu Beit Pa'or. Beit Pa'or is as low as you can go, in a sense. Why? Because it's your rectum. How deeper can you go into complete solipsistic ugliness? You think belly button meditation is something you get a degree in. Imagine getting a degree in Pa'or. That's a real contortion, right? But that's what you say. That's basically the issue. It's astounding. Rabbeisai, it may be astounding, but remember that Pa'or, in the weirdest way, is true. That's what's so shocking. Because the only time that we make a bracha of recognizing Kisei Kvodecha isn't coming out of a bathroom. So how is that possible? They are claiming that this is the deepest avodah possible, and we are agreeing. That this became the essential Aveda of Yisrael, and that if you saw a Pa'or, you wouldn't need to know who made it. It's got to be Jewish. No guy would be stupid enough to make something as disgusting as that. You got to be Jewish. That's still true. Who loves fecal art? You got to be a Jew. I mean, anybody else would just vomit, right? So, the Vaneshev Bagai is essentially giving up on all entitlements. And this is the halacha that the Zohar mentions. Ve'et Chanan is Tachanun. And the only way in which you can say Tachanun is by a complete and total acceptance of your own cessation. Otherwise, it's not Tachanun. So if there is an agenda of any kind, that's not Tachanun. What? You can say the words, because what you're asking is V'chanoti et asher achon. But that's not this. This is saying, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's something in you which is not a hanoga of this world, and which I can only infer from the very fact that you gave a Torah, that is Chinah, and that ultimately you created a world and only then did it become a place where chesed was a hanaga. But it started off as something so much more profound. I don't want any of that because I know that I don't deserve any of that. I know that my time is up. I know the mistakes that I've made. I know that I can't recuperate from that. I know that. I don't want that. I want something new. And where that new could go is man de masif, is masif. I have no idea what that new is, but that's what I need, because otherwise it's over, it's for me. And amazingly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to that was, yes, I'm giving it to you. Where do we see yes? Read what happens. Alei Rosh HaPiska, Visa Einecha, Yama Mitzafona V'Timana Mizracha, Ure'eve Einecha, which we took to be a cynical comment. Ki lo ta'avor ata yardin hazeh. V'tzav et Yehoshua, v'chaskehu, v'yamtzehu. Ki hu ya'avor lefnei am hazeh, hu yamtzehu otam et ha'aretz. And you're finished. Why don't you accept the reality, except for the fact that it adds two words. V'hu yamtzehu otam et ha'aretz asher tir'eh. From which Chazal learned, only those lands that Moshe Rabbeinu saw was Yehoshua able to be mantel. And when we close the world with the Torah, with the words, Ad Hayama Acharon, Yerushalmi says, that's halacha l'maaseh. Anything that Moshe Rabbeinu did not see is not chayev in maaseh. There's no din of maasers. Maaser, yes. The Kedushas Haaretz is Haaretz Asher Tireh. Doesn't matter if you capture, it's chayev in maasers. It's amazing. This explains why Oz Yavdil Moshe Shalosh Arim, you understand? Because what's happening is I am doing the Yerushas Haaretz. Not Yehoshua. Yehoshua is carrying out the physicality of Hayom La'asotam. But it's what I saw. It's what I set up. It's the siyum of the mitzvah that I began. A maskel b'mitzvah, Omrim la'gemar. Works in both directions. Because there's an amazing medrash that says, Moshe Rabbeinu's taina to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you're not treating me correctly. Treating you correctly. Yes. There's a Livyasan. And there's me. Strange equation. In Livyasan, it says in Eov, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Eov, what do you know about the world? One of the things he says is, was the Livyasan mitchanen to you? Mitchanen? Well, the Livyasan was mitchanen and you gave it to him because he lives forever. And he was Karaz Bris with you and you kept the Bris. Because same part, not the same pasuk, another pasuk says, Hatichrod Briti Livyatan to Eov. No. That's what I do. So why, when I ask the same thing, you recorded Brit with me, you're not keeping the Brit permanently? Obviously, what it is that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying in this context is that as Shevet Levi, Ani Amarti Hu Levi Lata Kohen Hashav Ata Levi, that he is the Leviathan. It's the nature of Levi to go along, and to be Melaveh, and not just to be the one that starts it. And this is what he tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ata hachelota la'arot et avdecha. Ata hachelota means hitchalta b'mitzvah. Misha matchil b'mitzvah omrim lo gemar. So why aren't you finishing it? Mamish, a diak even in the words of the parasha, yeah? So what that means is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants him the Vayet Hanan, he allows him to be melaveh arba amos. That's the point. Livui is arba amot as well. Mahalacha, once again, mahalacha. If I start you off on the derech, I am mavdil these orim. I was manchil the tushvotim evra yarden. I began the kivush of Eretz Yisrael. I was the one who created the bariach ha'antzayi, ha'tichon, which is shevet menashe, which takes half on one side and half on the other side. Now ve'etchanan el Hashem. Hitchalta b'mitzvah, omrim lo gemar. But what that means is that the entire nature of the parsha, following that idea, there's two points that are essential. One is the transitional impact of the Livyasan. So it really must be transitional, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu, for the first time, even in the way he describes the luchos, they're different luchos. The luchos originally were talking about Maaseh Bereishis, and these luchos are talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim in the same sukkim. Keep Shabbos because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sheshet Yabim Asas HaShemayim V'Zoret. Keep Shabbos because Ki Yotziach HaMeretz Mitzrayim. Which one is it? And this is the reason that in every single one of the parshas, he mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim again. But this time he adds, each time, Asher Hotziacha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, for the purpose of giving you this Eretz. L'man Hatchil Etchem, V'yirashtem Et Ha'aretz, again and again and again. And that your mistake initially was that you thought that Yetzias Mitzrayim means something. It never meant anything unless it was part of the reishis that meant Yerushat Ha'aretz in the end, that meant Bikurim in the end, that meant the fulfillment of a world in the end. And that's the essence of Tisha B'Av as well. When you stop going places, there's no reason for you to live. When you start going around in circles, in Mecholot, Man Delo Mosif Yasif, so that the entire idea of the Goluyot and the men Beis Orim the stops in Maaseh is to know that you're going somewhere. Do you understand? You're going somewhere. The moment that Klal Yisrael gets wrapped up in any type of identity that is essentially ethnicity, that we want to preserve what we have, Man Delo Mosif Yasif, because that becomes the Mecholot. So in order to be able to escape that, you need all of the issues that led to the Avelut, they have to end, and you have to realize, okay, but now I'm left without anything. That's correct. If you could stoop down and build them with broken down tools and start all over again, and it makes no difference to you because you know that that's what the world is for, then yours is the world and all that is in it. That's the famous Rudyard Kipling poem, right? If. But you have to be willing to do that. If not, then you'll give up. Or if not, you'll try to hold on. If you try to hold on, it's hopeless. The interrelationship between the elements of Moshe Rabbeinu's tchina that was granted and the tchina that wasn't granted is the Hayom Lazotah. Why do I say that? Because essentially, when a person asks for a matnas chinam on the darga of that chinam, which was the Mokr of Torah. By the way, this was the whole issue of Bilam. Remember, Bilam also refused to recognize that there is a darga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commitment to Yisrael that is completely outside of any Hanhaga. That's why, in terms of the Hanhaga Sa'olam, there needs to be probability, there needs to be chance, there needs to be evolution. And because of that, he could take advantage of those instants. The amazing statement of Ami Zecharna, that Loka asked, remember the things I did for you. And that's what caused Moshe Rabbeinu to fail in the same way that Bilam fell. In exactly the same hilarious way. Bilam takes a knife to kill his, if I had a knife, I would kill you. And Moshe Rabbeinu takes his staff and bangs on the staff. It's exactly the same thing. Because it comes from exactly the same problem. The initial belief that you can fix things, and you can fix things mechanically. And when Moshe Rabbeinu discovers the change, that's why he's coming now to be Beit Hanan. Rabbi Yisai, remember the old problem of B'chol Beiti Me'emanu? So how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu possibly say Yan Lo Yamantin? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was made B'chol Beiti Ne'eman, right? The answer is exactly this Nekuda. Where is the Bayit Kaveyochol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Beiti? It's the Beis of Bereshis. Is the bayit. That is the bayit called Chochmah, Chochmat Nashim Banta Beita, which is why this goes back to the dancing girls specifically. But that bayit comes because it draws, as Rabbeinu Bach explains, it draws with the leg of the bait that extends backwards into Tohu, which is pre-Rashis, which is the Boker of Moshe Rabbeinu's Neshama. Moshe Rabbeinu was Neman in the bayit, but he wasn't Neman outside of the bayit. That's the point. And what he's asking for now is to be zocha to the chesed that predates, so to speak, the bayit. That is the mocker of the space in which the bayit can exist, you see? And Chazal identified many levels of this. Even in terms of the physical universe, you have what we call Olam HaZeh. And then you have the Gan in Eden. And then you have Eden. The Gan is a tiny piece of Eden, which is the nature of time. It's Eden means time, and so on and so forth. This aspect is true about the nature of Torah overall. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking was to be able to live in that world of Pele, which was the answer to Eicha, remember. Kasher yipale b'enei ha'amazeh kein b'enei yipale. The Pele of Eicha, how could such a thing possibly have happened? is only answered by living in absolute wonderment. And when you live in wonderment, then there's no entitlement. And then there's no lo yit boshashu. There's only one problem. If hayom is la sotam, then the very fact that you intend to live in peleh means you lose the tachanun, by definition. Yes, because it's a very subtle point. You cannot live in a world which is meant for asiya in a space which is meant for lemachar lekabel schara. They have to be two different realities. Why? Because the nature of asiya demands from you taking on the conceit of doing. You have to see yourself as the agency of achievement, not just of achievement of myself, but of going somewhere in the world and being part of the dream of Rachis, not the dream of pre-Rachis. Rachis is what goes places. That's why it's called Rachis. This is the beginning. Rachis is at the Hachimota. It's exactly the same word. You began. Okay, where do we go now? So in telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so if you began, finish. That's what's wrong with the whole idea. There is no if you began, finish, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if I began, you finish. That's the whole point. Asher bara Elohim la'asot, for you to finish, not for me to finish. So don't come tell me, Machilota, that therefore it's called a mitzvah, so Omrim lo gemar. It isn't my mitzvah. It's for you. You cannot preserve both of those states simultaneously. And therefore the Venoshantem Baretz is the problem. What does Venoshantem mean?
I'm sorry.
Entitlement.
He's asking but one second, right, finish. You're stopping
no,
me from finishing.
No, he's not. He said, you started the mitzvah, finish the mitzvah, read through the mentors. Ata achilota la'arot et avdecha et kodlecha et yadcha chazaka shemiyah b'shamayim. That you started, keep showing. Do whatever needs.
Not on the Ari Miklat, but the Bechlan.
No, of course not. First become aware of the Midrashim you're dealing with.
But the Ari Miklat is the...
Yes, okay, that's where he did that on Ari. We're talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu's on Ari. So that means that there's a profound interrelationship between the Etchanan and Hayom La'asotam. And it means that each time that Moshe Rabbeinu goes over, okay, now you remember the way that you thought about it before. You thought you knew all about it. Asher Hotziacha Meretz Mitzrayim. But did anybody ever ask you, so Mahe Edut V'Chukim V'Mishpatim? No. They asked you, Mahavada Zot Lachem. They asked you, Mazot. What happens when they ask you, Mahe Edut V'Chukim V'Mishpatim? What are you going to tell them? You know what you need to tell them? V'otano Hotzi Misham L'man Havi'otano Latet Lanu Et Ha'aretz Asher Nishba L'Avotenu. Vayitzaveinu Hashem la'asot et kol ha'chukim ha'elu. These are the chukim la'asot ken bekerev ha'aretz. So it's a totally different vision. You can't have Yisrael interrupt us. Let's go out of Mitzrayim. It's useless. What are you going out of Mitzrayim for? And because of that, ain't Hachinami. Everybody's saying, okay, this, and this is the way the Rishonim explained it. Okay, we went out of Mitzrayim, we blew up Mitzrayim, now let's go back. We achieved what we needed to achieve. Well, we're not going to go back to be slaves. We're going to go back to be the masters. That's what they were saying. So this is a complete change of perception. You sat there at Har Sinai, and you understood Har Sinai. You thought you understood Har Sinai. It's not so came to care of our hearts. That's the point. So the Ve'ata Po Amodi Madi, the Medrash even says, I need you to stay here so we can plan out the Beis Hamikdash. Here? If you take a look at the Brocha of Atova Ameti, that's what it adds. If you take a look at the interrelationship that we have with the physicality of the world, not to speak of the rear-end physicality, which is the par aspect, but of the front-end, which is the eating, and the middle part, which is the digestion, which is the v'achalta v'savata, uveirachta. So what are the brachas that we have? We have the brachas on bris. We have the brachas on teret. We have the brachas on chesed. Hazan, we have the brachas on Yerushas Ha'aretz. Nodelecha, Hashim Chalta Lavotein. We have then the brachas that were mitukan by David and Shlomo for the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, Donei Yerushalayim. And then we have the bracha of Atova Metiv. It goes in that order. That was the Atova Metiv of the Arugei Bitar, which means that the bracha of starting over again and being able to do the whole thing out of a new matan of Rabba Munatecha, and Chadashim Labakarim is part of the nature of eating. It's part of the nature of going places. The problem of a po'or is that it believes that the ultimate, and the ultimate means in Olam Haba, when you look back, what did it mean to live with the dimensional constraints and absurdities of neuronal brains that we had to deal with in order to get to what we now view as existence? Do you not understand that you would perceive Pa'or as being Kisei Kvodecha? To have to go down to Vaneshev Bagai, Mu Beit Pa'or, good Lord! What didn't we go through? What garbage did we not have to process and leave behind? That's serious stuff. And I accept it. Ot Hashem. Even not Kian Haftabi. This is exactly what the experience in the Midbar was. That's the month. No bathroom. We can't stand it anymore. We need the bathroom. That's the Pa'or. We need to be human. We need to be part of things. We need to process things. We need to be going somewhere. You're forcing us to live in a matzav that is exactly what you yourself told Moshe Rabbeinu can't be lived in. The only way it was lived in was HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, you've got to leave your life behind. Oh, you are the guys. You're 100% right. You come here and divorce your wife. Divorce your wife? Says Aaron and Miriam. What kind of nonsense is that? He must be crazy. Why is he saying such a thing? God's giving him what he wants. Doesn't know how to get along with his wife. This is the Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the Peshagamu Basar. That he can't deal with the very dancing girls. That's the whole lineage of the coming to the Tikkun of Yom Kippur. And that's good for the point. If they need you, Ata, Amod, you have to be the one that's going to stand now. Beinenu levein Hashem. Do you want to lead this kind of life as the description of your Olam Hazeh? No. Because Yom La'asotam. That's the problem. And that's exactly why Yom HaKippurim is constructed around Yom La'asotam. The whole point of Yom Kippur is not to fast. People think that Yom Kippur is to fast. The whole point of Yom Kippur is not to fast. It's to feel deprived by fasting. It's amazing. V'initem et nafshotechem. Why not just say fast? No. It has nothing to do with fasting. I don't care if you eat or not. I want you to suffer what it means not to be eating. To know what that is. V'initem. I want you to suffer not having conjugal relations. V'initem. That's inui. It's not just fun. It's inui not to have. Connectedness to the world, losing connection, is inui. You need to recognize that, because if you don't, you'll end up leaving it all behind. So that tikkun is indeed ashochenitam betoch tumotam, because that's hayom la'asotam. You can't have a permanent machar lekabel scharam in olam hazeh. That's the point. The immense things that this gives you is, and this is the reason why Tisha B'Av's tikkun comes first, even though you would think, but it's a much deeper tikkun. It's not ashochenitam betoch tumotam. It comes first. Why does it come first? Because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted Moshe Rabbeinu was the answer to what he really wanted. It's always that way. The real answer is what you want. And by the way, the same Yaakov Avinu, who is the Ish Tam, says exactly the same thing to Esav. I'm giving you what you really want. Don't persuade yourself of what you want. This is what you want. And in the end, Esav says he's right. And in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us what we want. And that's Tzidok Adin. How could you do this to me? How could I do it to you? Because it's what you wanted. I only give you what you wanted. And you say you're right, 100%. It's all I ever wanted, like a fool. But it's what I ever wanted. That's exactly the point of Tzidok Adin. An amazing thing. So what it was that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted, what he really wanted, was the ability to be the mokar that would be related to, in his perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his closeness to the Shekhinah, in everything that he wanted to give to Klal Yisrael, he would want that to have been what they could draw from to be their own. Not true? Did he want to be the boss? No. Did he want everybody to be listening only to him? No. He wanted people to discover what that would mean to them. And this is what he says, to tell your children when they ask you, what is this for? L'tov lanu. Kol hayamim.
to be good to us. L'achiyotenu. L'achiyotenu doesn't mean that you should live. It means to live with that sense of mechaye, to really live. That she'echayanu v'kiyamanu. That's the point.
L'yomazeh.
Which means that I am giving you precisely what the Nekuda was. Because for you to stick around, that's not what you want, because ayom la'asotam. But you want to provide that livui. What do you think the Liv Yassan does? Go out and find a Liv Yassan. You ain't ever going to find a Liv Yassan, right? Because he's gone from the world of ayom la'asotam. You want to be zocher in Liv Yassan? You have to wait until it's all over. The point of Moshe Rabbeinu is he's Liv Yassan plus. You don't have to wait till it's over for Moshe Rabbeinu. You live with the livui of Moshe Rabbeinu. How does that work? It works because the actuality of what was granted him in his ability to, yes, begin things, and to have them continue on throughout thousands of years of continued development, means that there is initially a vision that comes from Matnas Chinam. That vision is Torah, which is Re'ei Limadati Eschem. That's why it appears over here. It was all Chinam because it came from the basic Chinam that I shared with you. And Kamosha Ani Limadati B'Chinam, Kach Limadati Etchem B'Chinam. So you know what that's like. If you know what that's like, it means that ultimately the relationships and the actions that you build upon that vision that you understood of Chinam become, in the course of time, and only fully matured in Olam Haba, but it's still Malveh Hashem Chonin Dal. There's still that first, you're still lending money to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Believe me, he'll pay you back for that. That's the level of the expression of Hayom La'asotam. Anything that was restricted to Hayom, you'll get back Hayom. But the Gemul is because that you gave to them was not Chesed Lumim Chatat Laman Hitgadel Bo. It was a sharing of some deep and profound existential recognition of where Reishis came from. Not the Tzivuyim of Reishis, not the Anaga of Reishis. But what does it mean to be alive? But that needs to be shared. And that's the astonishing thing that the Rabbi Bachya puts into the Hagadama. He says, why Malve Hashem Chonin Dal? Because nobody loves a doll. Why does nobody love a doll? Because you don't get anything out of loving a doll. He has nothing to offer. So if you do care about him, why do you care about him? You only care about him because I care about him, ultimately. That's why. And if you love what I love, then that means we share the most intimate connection. So what you can do about that, but what does that mean? It means that the chonen of that doll is correct to the matnas chinam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's coming only directly from that level of the recognition that life itself is a profound. The idea is that since the makor of the relationship to every last mitzvah and every last piece of food and every last moment I go into a bathroom, the makor of that relationship is where it is that I'm going in terms of what will be ultimate gemul, the way it will be seen in Olam Haba, means that it is a complete and total experience to me of whatever darga I have of that Olam Haba, and it is a seeding of the nature of reality with anything that I could in a setting that would be different from the limitations of Rav Lach. And what does Rav Lach mean? It says Chazal, Rav Lach means Moshe, you have a Rav and he already wrecked it for you. Who's my Rav? Adam HaRishon. Zeh Sefer Todot Adam. He already brought death on the whole world. You're not going to be able to change that. So therefore, since Rav Lach, the limitations, those limitations are temporary limitations, but you're not locked out of that life, silly. There's no Ata Achilota, which I don't finish. I am here by finishing it. Tzavis Yoshua. Exactly. Hu Yad Chilei Matar Zasher Tir'eh. That, the fact that there's further generations that will translate and take into the physical actuality, the manifestation of what it is that was achieved, what do you care? Did you build the Mishkan? I didn't allow you to build the Mishkan. Other people built the Mishkan. Does that drive you crazy? You didn't build the Mishkan? No, because in the end you did build the Mishkan. The only one who could put it together was you. And that's true. To whatever extent that you can put it together, that's what you gave the world. you can put it together. I said, nobody knows. Who cares if people know? So to all those people that walked by barely recognizing, they'll probably smile and wave at you, not knowing why. But the point is that they did get something, because that was put into the world. And it may take decades for it to mature, and it may take forever to become into Olam Haba. But that's the life where you are going places. It's the opposite of a life of Mecholot HaKerem, and it's the reality, the first stage of a reality in which Vaharaya, the ultimate Mechol, which is the Mechol Began Eden, is a Mechol in which there's no Yid Boshasha. So that the Gemara has to bring a Raya, Yochol lo to you, Yirei Milifanai. Yes! Because since there's no longer a chisaron of lo yit boshashu, because at that point what I'm sharing is the actual mikor of existence in the world, which it's not possible to talk of in terms of entitlement. It just is what is. There's no such thing as entitlement for what is. It is. That's the beauty of it. So then yochol, that is the ultimate mechol. Because you're always, always dancing around that one, inescapable, endlessly new reality. That's the only good mechol. And in that mechol, there cannot be a lo yis bashashu. Therefore, I have a half a minute, so maybe there's not even a sense of year. Can you imagine saying such a thing? That we should just be pals? So I need a pasuk to tell me, even so, there is a sense of difference. There is a sense of year. Quite amazing.
There's a book of Professor Rowe, Dancing at the Edge of Time, the Edge of Age. Dancing images are very, very, very new.
Yeah, that's the shaman.
What? Why is
prehistory?
Shamans are also prehistory.
Why is it by definition incompatible? I don't. It's still supposed to be Olam Chatzir Abichayach, and it's still supposed to be.
Olam Chatzir Abichayach doesn't mean any literally.
But it's also
limited by the limits of physicality and by the elements of Shmira.
But I don't see why it's an existential thing where it's like you can't.
Because the very fact that you have to be separate from things in order to do them, the Maisa is transitive.
Fine.
And the very fact of it's been transitive means there is a subject and an object.
Fine.
And if there is a subject and an object, then I am subject to becoming a subject in my own mind.
Fine.
That's it. So therefore, lo yit boshash.
So then Rabbi's saying that being involved at all in Olam Hazeh, that means you automatically have to be lo yit boshash. There's no.
You have to be makbir on lo yit boshash.
See, that's different.
So the,
way the
moment you ask for an access to a level of mechol in which there is no longer a pagam of lo yis boshashu, which is what this would cause, to be in a world of mecholos of Gan Eden, you are making it impossible for you to be in a matzav of asiya. That's the equation
limit,
that I'm trying to show
your,
here. It's such a
your
beautiful equation, but because this is your mechol, it's around this issue, literally, you can't see how beautiful it is.
Rabbi saying is the it would limit your own ability to be also because you're involved in the Olam Asiya would endanger all of the Olam.
Right, you wouldn't be Yoshev Begay. If you would be Yoshev Begay, then you lose the vision of the Av.
Not because you automatically have bad mitos, but because the very fact that such a thing.
It's an existential
the very
problem.
Fact that it's possible in terms of Hindu Torah of Lo Yami.
That's right. Exactly why. The Bechol Besi Nemanu, you will not have a Nemanu outside of the bias.
Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who did lose his Bechira, it still doesn't in the fact that asking for being involved
and,
in that.
And losing your Nemanu is because of it.
That's,
You had to, and that's why you died in the end. So the whole thing is self-referential. In the end, you died because you did not know how to deal with things outside of the home. That's the bottom line. Because that's as the Ramban says. Right? The Ramban says the Rabban's crowd is nuts. Why is it nuts? Because he says we don't find HaKadosh Baruch Hu being angry. Because what do you mean you don't find it? A million times HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at lesser things than that. So what right do you have to say we don't find? Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry. Well, you can't trust Moshe Rabbeinu to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry. Mamish is zittles. Rabba. Right? That's the whole point. At home, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be angry.
Right,
and that's why Moshe saw it that way.
Right.
And on that level, he was Neman. So what the Ramban is saying is absolutely true. Right. But the Ramban had the same problem that Mesha had. Because the Adon lo beveto, as it says in the Pasuk. There's times when he's not at home. And when he's not at home, then everything is different.
That would be also in terms of the same thing in terms of the Esther and Mordechai specifically had to be the time that's Kovea.
In terms of that
became the Tikkun of Tznius in terms of an existential ability to relate to the world of the Tikkun, which ultimately in the Al Chisayamim there isn't supposed to be a stira between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, but it was only between Bayis and the reality ultimately. It's just because the world went on.
No, and it was also an extension of the concept of bias in terms of bat.
Bat.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to. That was the way.
No, I'm saying that. No, it doesn't have to, but it can.
Or the fact that there's the potential makes it already.
Makes it that you can't be in that.
It's not a function of.
Ayin lo rasa means it's not shayach because the ri'as ayin would be limited. So that's the atahor eitaladat, but you're still going to be limited by the lord eitah.
Rabbi had mentioned the other point that the pella itself is touchable, and you can experience all of the.
I mentioned that.
All
I said that.
I don't remember hearing.
That's what I said about making love to people that you pass in the street.
Okay, but
because if ultimately the way you face the world without asiyah is in terms of pella, then that means that the source of the relationship that you experience and that you plant in the people without their even knowing is the relationship to Pella. It may take them 40 years, which is what it says here. It takes 40 years. It may take them 40 years till they till they experience what it is that you were doing. They had no idea. They thought it was X and it was minus X. Turns out to be the opposite after 40 years. Because they didn't respond to it. So in your mind...
Once you have experience of Pele,
then that's what you are experiencing. But then the Asiya is not Nogia.
Somehow or other, they expand the body. In doing that, they make something that is usually outside of the ability. Oh, I forgot to mention.
It's cold.
Huh?
It's cold, I think. I need a
40 bucks?
Okay, no, whatever you want.
Okay, now, but much as you're talking, it's Sa in Echa. Rebbe Yuk Masha Banotanu.
Yeah.
Ki ze mitkasher bidiyuk kacha.